This lesson on our daily private time with the Lord is more important than I could ever possibly express to you. And it is you, teacher, that we must depend on to make it as useful and as significant as possible to your group. Listen with great care to their personal applications. And as the Holy Spirit would lead you, try your best to get a commitment from each woman that she will definitely do the assignment on pages 27 and 28 for next week. This could be the beginning of a daily quiet time habit that she would continue for the rest of her life. In the group study book on page 25, we talk about the elements of the daily devotional life. Let me just feed in a few things to you that the quiet time is not. First of all, it's not a time of just being still. You know, that would only give time for awful thoughts to flood our minds. It's not being alone with our thoughts. It's being alone with God's thoughts. And it's not a time for preparation for next week's Bible study. The devotional life is subjective, and it should not be the focus of Bible study. The focus of the quiet time is on a relationship with a person. The third thing it's not is that it is not a conscience either. It should be a desire and not a duty. Christ came to take us out from under the law. Don't frustrate the grace of God. And then fourthly, it's not a time to figure out problems. Problem solving focuses on me instead of on Christ. And I need instead to be enhancing my concept of God in the quiet time, because that's the basis of all problem solving. And fifthly, it's not a tanking up time. Again, the focus would be on me. What can I get from it? It's not a criterion for blessing. You know, even if you're unfaithful, one day you still have a chance. It doesn't just wipe out all blessing. Well, on the positive side, what is the quiet time then? And of course, teachers, we could make this very long list, but let me just suggest two very significant things that the quiet time is. One, it's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. You remember the portion in Luke 10, verses 39 to 42? This is where Jesus came to Martha and Mary's house, and it says that Martha welcomed Jesus and his disciples into her home. Her sister Mary sat on the floor, listening to Jesus as he talked. But Martha was the jittery type and was worrying over the big dinner she was preparing. Another translation, I think it's the New American Standard, says she was distracted. She came to Jesus and said, "Sir, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "Martha, dear friend, you are so upset over all these details. There is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her." I think that this description of Martha often describes me to a T. Distracted, busy, involved, jittery, on the go. But in contrast, what do you see about Mary's example of her relationship to the Lord? She sat at his feet. She listened to him. She was not distracted. This time was uninterrupted by any anxieties or activities or troubles. She had put them out of her mind. Mary made a choice, and she wouldn't let it be taken from her. You know, teacher, if you and I are too busy to have a quiet time, then we're just simply too busy. And if I'm too busy to have a quiet time, then that's my problem. You see, Jesus would never miss an appointment with me. Sometimes we plan too much and we're distracted by the many things, though they be so good, aren't we? However, when I don't spend time with God, I lose my perspective, and then the frantic element of life just simply increases. A second reason for the quiet time is to get to know God. Do you remember that Hosea 6:6 was written out for you on page 26, and it starts out, "I don't want your sacrifices." And I think our Christian sacrifices can be very subtle. For instance, going to church every Sunday, memorizing several verses a week in the Scripture, reading our Bibles through once a year. But God says that what pleases Him is not those who sacrifice, but those who know Him. And the heart attitude of wanting to know Him is what pleases Him. Do you know that when Paul wrote Philippians 3:10, where he says, "that I may know Him," this was after 16 years of knowing God. After 16 years, he wrote that his intense, deepest desire was to know God intimately. Let me just give you a practical suggestion on knowing the life of Christ better. Purpose to go through the book of John, reading one chapter a day, and as you read, ask yourself these five questions. What does this chapter say about Jesus? What did Jesus say about himself? What did others say about him? What did he do that others could not or did not do? And lastly, how does this apply to my life? Another thing I find very helpful, teacher, in my own reading and quiet time is I try each year to use a new translation. You see, if I keep reading the same, for instance, the King James or the New American Standard that I have read year after year after year, then my thinking is colored by the marks I've made previously, the things I've underlined, the notes I've made. And so I try to read a different translation of the Bible each year in my quiet time. And this helps keep my approach to the Lord's Word fresh, and my thinking is not grooved by all these previous things. And I would just like to recommend that you test it and see if this doesn't give you a increased access to God's thoughts. And as you get into the devotional life of Jesus, you'll find him stealing away in the early hours before dawn for time alone with God. And you have some reasons for having a quiet time at the beginning of the day listed in your teacher's guide. Just to refresh your mind, it says it's like putting your armor on before going out to battle. Have you ever known a soldier to fully clothe himself in his armor and then crawl into bed? Or it says it's like getting one's marching orders for the day. And you know, we are in a real battle, and God knows all of Satan's strategy for the day. And you know, it might allow us to fight a better fight if we had a fresh plan from the one who is in charge. And then another thing, it sets the tone for the day. It is that which prepares us for walking with God throughout the day. One other thing, teacher, that you might just mention to your group is that they should not try to superimpose a standard of total excitement on their quiet times every morning. Have you ever had someone say, "Well, I quit because it wasn't exciting"? Well, you wouldn't expect every encounter with a close friend to be super exciting, would you? Think of somebody you've known for years. Are all the times with them just simply fantastic? Or are many of them average? Encourage them not to be disappointed, but to continue the discipline of a daily time alone with the Lord. And the quiet time is not always, every single time, just highly exciting. But you know, it is fellowship with the living God, and a relationship of deep communion and fellowship does not just happen automatically. And you are the one who chooses what you want your relationship with God to be. And you know, we can never lose in the attention that we give to this person who loves us totally. Realize that for every need, problem, inadequacy, or trial that you will face today, there's something about him that can see you through triumphantly. Have a triumphant day today.